Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for those keeping count. This is episode 361, and my next guest hasn't been around since episode 248. I want to introduce everybody to Mike Phillips, and this is the guy who keeps one of my books right next to the Bible. I mean, it's awesome. Lessons from the Dojo. If you haven't gotten it, read it. It's great. Yes, I published it 10 years ago in 2015. But it's still a great book. So let's just go to Mike. And you know, we off air, we were talking about all kinds of things like entrepreneurs do, like 7-second attention spans, about sales, about cars, about leadership. So we're just going to go where the conversation goes and hope you enjoy it. So, Mike, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, Rob. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I always enjoy the times we've spoken and the times we've interacted online. Always enjoy the conversation, and often enjoy the sarcasm. And I will tell you
sarcastic?
This.
Sarcastic? No.
I mean, sometimes. But I will tell your audience this: a true statement that is not sarcasm. This book lives here, and quite literally, as does my Bible. They sit on the side of my desk, and I do a devotional often daily, and I will read through different stuff getting ready for my podcast. And it really, lessons from the Dojo, it's very simple life lessons, good reminder. And
every page is a new lesson. I try not to make the lessons go longer than they need to be. They just need to be simple.
Yep. I think every one of them is only a page. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they're all one-page lessons.
It was designed around the concept of martial arts. So you start off as a white belt, you read a little bit, get some life lessons, and then you go up and graduate into a black belt. It was a brilliant concept back in 2015, and I wrote it while I was watching my kids take karate. And when I launched that book in 2015, my wife and I were actually taking a trip to Italy. And we went to the Vatican. We went to, Assisi. We went to Florence and Venice. And, I thought, yeah, this is an awesome trip. I can experience, some of the things that are in the Bible. Right there, go to the Vatican, and it can be overwhelming. Although the Sistine Chapel was smaller than I thought it was going to be, but the book launch was taking place at the same time I was on the trip, and the launch fizzled. It only took a couple years for the book to finally, get some footing and
find some legs.
And so I use that example a lot because. I've produced a lot of books. I've helped a lot of clients, and not everything is going to be a home run. And we as entrepreneurs, we as leaders, need to understand that we can have employees that may not always do the job that we want, and maybe it takes them a little longer to do it. But sometimes they're the ones who become the best leaders, the best salespeople, because they're taking time to gather it all in, and they have to be their own snowball. They have to let it build up.
You're absolutely right. It's as you're talking, it's sort of the tortoise and the hare, right? Mm-hmm. It's slow and steady often really wins as leaders, as we were talking before, I host a leadership podcast. I think the last time before we talked was right before I launched this iteration of the podcast, and I've had the opportunity myself to interview some just unbelievable. It's just like you, people come out of the woodwork and you go, how am I even here? Right. And, I think that's one of the traps that we fall into as not just as leaders, but as people, right? We want things done so quickly right now, Rob, especially with social media. I mean, as we were talking beforehand, it's like the 7 second attention span. Everybody wants micro content. I want this done quick. I want this done now. I want the, but that doesn't always establish expertise. And I think that's something as, like I said, beyond just the scope of leadership, I think as humans, we need to take a step back and realize that. I know even with, you know, our own families, my kids, we have a granddaughter, and she's one, just turned one. And it's like, that's the prime example. Like all you want to do as a person is see your kids, your grandkids just flourish and grow and excel. And I assure you, they're going to take longer most of the time than what you want, and you're going to be chasing them the whole time. And if that's not a metaphor for life, right? So it's just, it's, I think you're spot on there when you're saying, hey, sometimes you got to let people, you know, fail. There's got to be a miss. I'm surprised. I don't think you told me that before about this book that you said, hey, and not that this is just a pitch for the book. It's just something I enjoy. And that's one of the things that how we connected and what we connected on. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my experience, me going through and reading it, I'm going, well, that's surprising to hear, but that's something you can hold. And that's your experience. You go, yeah, well, it was tough on the outside though. It's the interesting thing is I think most people probably wouldn't know that if you didn't have you know, a little bit of that vulnerability to say, yeah, that one sucked. I mean, the launch sucked, not the book. Maybe clear. Oh,
and the right? thing was is that, and it's ironic, is the book is filled with life lessons, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's 101 kick butt lessons, and the funny thing is that book teaches its own lesson, because yes, the launch failed. Yes, mm-hmm. it took a little longer for the book to get, you know, get legs and make an impact. But, you know, it also, you know, like I said, had that snowball effect where it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And people were like, wow, that book spoke to me. And you know, I made the book simple and for a reason, because every book that I write, even my latest book, Marketing the Magic, it's not thick. You know, it's just an easy read.
Yeah.
And you know, over time, people are like, you know, Rob, a lot of your books have the same common theme, helping entrepreneurs. I'm like, yeah, because I'm an entrepreneur.
You right.
know, there's a few of them. The newest ones are, you know, the Can Go to Hell series, and they're consumer advocacy books that help people fight debt collection, slum lords, HOA boards, and the IRS. And people are like, wow, you know, you put a lot of time into each of these books. I said, well, you know, each book is its own character, and it needs to be able to carry on its own.
Sure.
And, so 60 some books in 12 years, I don't think is, you know, not too shabby, but, you know, I enjoy writing. It's my therapy.
Yeah. But,
you know, I look at a book and say, okay, this is the direction I want to take it. And I get halfway through. Sometimes I get the whole way through. I'm thinking, there's something missing. And so I'll add, like with Lessons from the Dojo, I had taken a lot of the quotes that I shared on the Business Dojo, which is a group page on Facebook that I started in 2014. So I took 101 of those and started writing pages and my you know, feedback on certain things and my thoughts. And then it was, I got, you know, 100 and some of these pages, and I'm like, okay, but now what?
Yeah.
You know, it was, I got inspired by my kids doing karate. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good. So I had to reshuffle all these things and put them into categories. And so it took time, you know. And, but with life, with what we do for our clients, the same thing. You know, I look at, I look at each client as a puzzle. How can I make this puzzle fit better?
Sure.
You know, and it's sometimes it works. Sometimes it misses its mark. You know, I'm human. I'm not a fortune teller, you know, but you know, over time I've adapted it and I've evolved and I kind of know exactly what's going to help somebody.
Well, and I think that's something too, that's important is you keep that at the core. I mean, I think that's something that's really good. That's another one of those life or leadership lessons or human lessons is when you keep that sort of that attitude or that guiding light as your core, Rob, and you're saying, hey, look, is this going to help somebody? I think there's so much opportunity in that. And I think just personally, I think we are so in the rat race. I mean, we were talking beforehand in this last year, for example, year or two, I mean, since I was on the show last, mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of people that were entrepreneurs or people that were trying to make their dream come true. And they tried so fast, went so far, some of them fizzled out, some of them returned back to traditional business models, said, hey, I'm going to go find a job. And I think some of that comes with just, you know, realizing even earlier, as we were saying in the conversation, slow and steady wins the race. You have to be prepared for that. And then you got to surround yourself with people like you and that are saying, okay, well, hey, look, here's how you can grow this. Here's how I can help you grow. Here's the benefit to surrounding yourself with right people. And so often, you know, call it society, call it social media, call it whatever. People want things so quickly and so right now, and we lose sight of some of the stuff that's really important, the slowing down and connecting with people, the genuinely, hey, listen, if I started this venture or this business or this entrepreneurial activity, and here's what I'm going after, and one, usually, you know, entrepreneurs, and you'll know this, I hope you'll be able to connect with this. Like the reason we started the thing, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that we do and that we love is because we love it. Mm-hmm. And then we want somebody else to love it as much. And we want them to be able we want to be able to help them. And it's so easy to fall into the trap of, well, now I got to grow and I got to scale and I got to get big and I got to do this and I got to do the other thing. And we lose the love of the thing because we're spending so much time, you know, chasing it or chasing money that we lose sight of what do we love and how can we help people doing it. I mean, yeah. And that's one of the things that I really fall into with, like, you know, my podcast, what I do at work and so forth, not to steer or just point it at me, but it's like, I love what I do and I want to help people. And so like, when you're saying that, like, that's something that I really connect with. Cause it's, you know, hey, and you say it so nonchalant. It's funny listening to you speak. You're like, well, you know, I wrote these 60 books and you know, whatever time frame, but it's, and it, like, hey, no big deal. And I'm going, I've written one book. I wrote a devotional and I've had my other book in process for as long as you've written all of yours. And it's because other, you know, life's gotten in the way, business opportunities have gotten in the way, other things have gotten in the way that have been more important. And for me, rightfully so, right? Sometimes there's stuff that we do have to weigh in. Well, what's the most important thing? Is it publishing this and doing this, or is it spending this time in the moment? And I can't speak that for anybody else.
Well, you know, you had mentioned chasing the money, and, mm-hmm. and I'm not, and I guess I never was a person of fame and fortune. You know, sure. If you want fame and fortune, go watch Indiana Jones and Short Round, and they have a conversation in Temple of Doom, and where Indy goes, "Fame and fortune, kid," and that's all well and good.
Yeah.
That's not my legacy, and that's what I wrote about in my book, Legacy. It's you know, for me, it was always about leaving something behind that wasn't money.
Right.
And it was about knowledge, about education, about, you know, all these interviews that I've compounded over the years with brilliant people like yourself, that creates knowledge that, you know, people can access it every day. I don't put it behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. People can go to YouTube. They can go anywhere and listen to it. And, you know, whether they like me or just like the guests that I bring on, they're getting knowledge. Absolutely. You know, I'm having an impact. I'm leaving my legacy. And if I drove everything to the idea of chasing the money, I wouldn't be who I was, you know? And here's the problem with chasing the money. When the money is not there, then you become desperate. You become frustrated and you start doing stupid shit. I've noticed so many entrepreneurs, when sales tank, mm-hmm. they start discounting everything just to hope to get something on that hook that they're throwing out there. And all they get is the minnows, the small shit that the you know, that and you know, my favorite Robism saying, mm-hmm. the cheaper the client, the more hassles involved. And so you lower your price in hopes to get more business, but those business that you attract are pain in the asses, and now you're stuck. And because all you did was chase the money. Stop chasing the money. You know, let people know, hey, I charge $33,000 for a 2-day. I come to you. This is my, or you know, I just put a ridiculous price out there one day because people, one person asked me, Rob, how can I hire you for 6 months to do this? $100,000. And a guy goes, what? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make it ridiculously hard for you to hire me because I know my value. I know what I bring to the table. I know that it's going to 10 times, 20 times, 100 times your business. And you don't want to pay? That's fine. I don't care. I'm not discounting.
I'm not on the other side of discounting. I'm on the other side of some stuff because I think it's interesting when someone is in alignment in business with themselves. Hey, I know my value. I know what I offer. I know what I'm bringing to the table. I know the knowledge. I love what you're talking about, like with legacy. Mm-hmm. You're right. People can tune in. And it's crazy because I've had people say the same thing to me. Oh, man, you got to turn this into a course and start charging for it. And I'm like, well, cool. Maybe I'll come up with a course and start charging for it. But that's not what this thing is about over here, right, that we did, you know, called the podcast or YouTube and so forth. What I think is interesting is because, like, when you say, hey, would you throw a ridiculous offer out there? If it's the right person, if you're an entrepreneur and you're connected with the right people and they say, hey, I want to hire you for 6 months, and you say, hey, $100,000 or $1 million, whatever that number is, you're going to have the wrong people will go, oh my gosh, like what you said, what? Oh my gosh, that's not that. Well, cool, man. We can still be friends. There's no hard feelings. That I hope your business does fantastic, but you're going to have the right people that can see the value, the knowledge, the you know, congruency and integrity of the business that you're offering. They say, well, $100,000, why so low? You know what I mean? And you're like, cool, man, you want to do it for a year? I'll give you a deal or whatever. So that's something I think, you know, as we're talking today, one thing that I would hope people get out of this conversation, especially entrepreneurs, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs tune into your show. And when it comes to, you know, pricing and the money, it isn't about chasing the money.
Right.
Like, yes, what you're offering has value and you should know what that value is. And you should have the congruency, personal congruency and integrity to stick with what is the pricing. And when the right people are there, whether they're people in your circle, whether people outside of your circle that are finding you, the right people are going to say, yeah, that's a no-brainer because, Rob, I've seen what you do and I want you on board. Just tell me who to write the check to. Can I wire it or do you take a credit card, debit card? You know what I mean? So I think that's a valuable piece that I hope entrepreneurs, I hope business people will hear is it, like, yes, I know in business we have to generate an income. That's one of the ways that we're able to multiply ourselves. That's one of the ways, you know, when you're authoring books, like you have to have an income to be able to have the resources to do those things and then ultimately print the books, have them published, do all of those things. Like there is value, but we got to understand that that's just a tool to leverage. And the real value is what's behind that, for lack of a better term, you said it earlier, what's behind that paywall? It's the knowledge wall. It's the stuff that it's in your head. It's what you bring to the table. It's what your business does that's unique. It's all of those things. That's the full package. And I think that's something I definitely want people to hear is, know what it is.
For me, the books are or that piece that you know. And I have some of my books for free. You can go to my website, you can download a sure. bunch of free stuff. There's always something that I have out there, whether the podcast, whether some books, they're free. You can access sure. anywhere. Beyond that, you pay for my time. And you know, a lot of people say, well, Rob, you got all this free stuff. Why should we pay for your time? Because I'm going to do it quicker. I'm going to do it faster and more efficient and make you more money than just you listening. Because a lot of times people listening or people reading a free book, they don't take action.
Absolutely.
You know, when you have skin in the game, which is you pay, you know, things are going to happen quicker. They're going to happen, you know, and you're going to be like, wow, I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah. If I can share a story here real quick, because one of the things that it makes me think of, and this is probably, close to 20 years old. I had a salesperson that worked for me in a new car franchise, working in the auto business. And we had a gentleman reach out and said, hey, I want to buy, we were talking about cars beforehand too, but he says, hey, I want to buy this car. Right. And the salesperson says, great, what are you doing it for? And so on and so forth. He says, well, I'm buying it for my daughter that's going to school in Pennsylvania, right? I think it was Pennsylvania where she's going to school. And he says, I want to buy the car and I want to do this and I either want to have it shipped to her and so forth. We said, hey, great. You know what? Maybe we could save you the time and the shipping and we'll work the whole deal out here. We'll contact a sister new car dealer in Pennsylvania, have them do a courtesy delivery of the vehicle. We'll basically buy the car from them and have them deliver it to her, right? Like you were saying, how do you make it easy for people to buy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You said that before we went live, just to share with everyone. So it's like, how do you make it easy? So we said, okay, we're going to do this. He's got a college age girl that's, let's say 22 years old, 21, 22 years old. And he's like, oh my gosh, you guys could do that. That would be awesome. Yeah, if you work out the whole deal and you do all the stuff and you just set it up for the delivery, tell me where to come in and sign. We're like, cool, piece of cake. So we do all the stuff. It takes probably 24 hours overnight. Communicate with the other dealer. Try and make the things easy. And I'll get to the point of my story here. He comes in like the following day or the day after. And he says, hey, and the guy that was selling, it's a good friend of mine. His name's Richard. He says, Richard. He says, well, I have a problem. He says, everything we worked out and so forth, that other dealer contacted my daughter and they said if they would just buy the car through her, even though they'd already agreed to sell the car to us and do this whole kind of end around, make it easy, that they would save us $500. And I remember the salesperson looking at him and he says, if that's what you want to do, he says, but let's just keep in mind, he says, your daughter's going to be at school there for another year and a half. And is your peace of mind worth $500 to you? And I says, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, let's say, he goes, if your daughter is, you know, she gets a flat and is stranded, is she going to call that other dealer or are you going to call me here? She's going to call her dad. And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, and you're going to call me. And he says, so for the $500, you get me on Sundays, you get to call me, you get to address the concerns. Ultimately, she's not going to live in Pennsylvania. She's going to come back here, or go somewhere else in the US and so forth. And he says, so is that $500 worth it for that year? Or is your peace of mind and actually taking care of your daughter and having this relationship that we've worked out worth more than that? And the guy goes, I see your point, man. Just have them do it. Right. And so it's one of those, it's when you're saying, hey, yeah, there's lots of free stuff out there, the courtesy delivery, the negotiation, the going through all that stuff. You in the car business, that's the free bonus, right? Mm-hmm. We can do that on your behalf and in any business, right? But the real value comes in the peace of mind of having a human that knows, like you were saying, Rob, okay, I come with the extra $500. Here's the bonus, or the extra 50,000 or 100,000 or whatever it is. And like you were saying, hey, I can do it faster, I can do it better, I can provide this knowledge and so forth. That's irreplaceable.
Yeah, well, that was one of the ideas behind, you know, the guarantee that I just implemented with Unspock Media. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going into our next year will be our 25th year.
That's awesome.
And there is no
congratulations, man.
There's no marketing company out there that offers a guarantee. And I thought about that and going, you know, I didn't offer a guarantee in my marketing business for a long time. But in my cleaning business, I had a 200% money back guarantee. That if I couldn't clean to your satisfaction, not only would I refund your money, but I would pay another cleaner to come in and clean up behind us. And I thought, how can I adapt that to Anspach Media? And so I came up with the Anspach Authority Guarantee. And if you're not thrilled with our service, not only do I give your money back, but I pay another marketing company up to $1,000 to onboard you into their system.
Wow.
And you know, nobody else is doing that. And I've had marketers reach out and they're like, you can't do that. You're undercutting us. And I'm like, why don't you just provide real value, back up your service, and you know, let the customer decide. And you know, I've had so many people reach out and say, Rob, you're so confident in your ability. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not always about, yes, the guarantee is there, but you know, they want to make sure that you're going to be able to do the job that they're hiring you to do.
Absolutely.
And the flip side of that is I'm only going to take the clients I know I can actually accomplish that goal, because, you know, as much as I have a guarantee, I don't want the wrong person coming in here and just taking advantage of us.
No, 100%. Absolutely.
You know, so it's, I think in everything that we do, it has to be, you have to take the step ahead. You have to say, look, this is why you're hiring us. This is, you know, you have to put so much faith not only in your decision to hire, but person you actually hire. So,
100% agree.
You know, we're doing a lot of things differently than most marketers, and you know, people will say, Rob, I want a funnel. Let's go somewhere else. You know, if that's all you want.
That's the end thing, though, Rob. Why do you not do a funnel?
I don't do it. Yeah, because you know, you're just one migraine away, you know, from your funnel collapsing, and I hate funnels.
Yeah,
I always said it on my show. I'm not gonna say, hey, we're gonna do this. No, a funnel to me is not marketing. A funnel to me is you trying to trick the system, the algorithm, into putting your client somewhere in, and then you don't follow up anyway. So you get a client come in, pick up the phone, call them, send them a postcard. Dude,
absolutely.
Old school. Send them a video.
I think old school is coming back. Yeah, I've had two people on my show recently. Gosh, just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I had a gentleman on my show. He climbed Kilimanjaro and he'd just gotten back from doing that. And that was one of the things that he brought up was, he says, man, he goes, I'll tell you where the magic is old school follow-up. That's what we're getting into, is we pick up the phone and call them. We're sending letters and so on and so forth. Like we were talking beforehand, like send a video email so people can see your face. They know that you took the time to actually, you know, invest in them to at least click record for 30 seconds and say hello. And I'm with you on the funnel thing. It's funny because it's one thing to catch the fish and pull them in the boat, but then you still got, you know, you got a bunch of fish in the boat. What are you going to do with that? And so I think it's something that is so important that once you have, you got to look at all these people that are submitting the stuff as individuals. And we lose sight of that in the marketing that I do and so forth. I have a team of, 10 people right now that work for me in doing marketing and automotive. And so often, like, one of the things that I often remind them of is, like, look, you have to remember that we're getting the lead. We're getting the information from the person wanting more information, wanting to do business with us. We see it as just that black and white, here's the person's name on the screen. And it's easy to become numb to that. I think it's easy to become numb to that in any business. There's so much exchange of information that it's like, oh, well, I got Rob Anspach stuff. Oh, great. What does Rob want? Rob wants to buy a truck, or Rob wants to buy coaching, or Rob. And all we're looking at is this black and white lead form, right? That came through a funnel, that came through a lead submission, that came through an email newsletter sign up or whatever. And we forget that on the other side of it is a human being right? Rob, that is an author, a marketer, a human that has real life experiences, did a little bit of college, did some time in the Navy, you said, right?
No, like, I didn't get in the Navy. I wanted to join.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You said you.
And
you,
they said you that in. Because I couldn't decipher those numbers from the right. color block.
But you have all these, you're the human behind it that has all these real experiences rather than just some dude that's black and white on paper that decided to fill out a funnel form.
Yeah.
And there's so much information. There's so much social media.
Well, you know, and the thing is that everybody is connected with these phones. Everybody.
So it's always within arm's reach.
So, you know, why not take 30 seconds mm-hmm. and just create a, you know, hi video, you know, hi, Mike, this is Rob. Got any questions? Reach out. I'm always here. This is my number. Bam. And you send that to somebody. Or, hey, you know, I saw that you test drove yesterday. I wasn't in the office. Any questions? Bam. And you just send these short little videos, text to them, and they're gonna pick up that phone. You know, what I've noticed is I yesterday I got 71 spam calls. So am I gonna take the time to pick up the phone? No, but I'm gonna bypass and I can just send these little short videos to their text.
Yep.
Now I've got their attention and they're thinking, wow, he just took time to create a personalized video to send me. I'm going to call him.
Well, and even if it's not a video, if it's just a text or a phone call or something, one of the very first things I do for my show is when somebody books with me as a guest, and you'll appreciate this because I know like right away when you and I booked this show, you know, we emailed back and forth. I booked it with the wrong email address. You're like, hey, I got you. It wasn't 10 minutes later. I got you, fixed it, ready to go and so forth. I know that's coming from the person. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that I do is when somebody books, I send them my cell phone number and, hey, here's my number in case anything goes sideways, something comes up, best way to communicate is text. They, you know, I expect to get their number in return. And then I'll text them and say, hey, got your number. It's Mike. Just, you know, program it, do whatever. And inevitably, if stuff goes sideways, and that was one of the things even yesterday, you know, and we were talking this morning as we came on, my soundboard locked up and so forth. And it's like, inevitably, if something goes wrong, you want to have a way to touch that person, you mm-hmm. know, make it a personal touch. And so the gal was coming on my show yesterday and I'm hanging out and it's about 10 minutes before we go live and my phone rings and sure enough, it's her. I said, hey, what's going on? She goes, I can't get my camera to connect. I just wanted you to know that I'm here. I'm so sorry. I'm working on it and so forth. But like that, it does two things. It turns me into a real human where she's comfortable calling me back because we'd already had some exchange. And two, it gives me peace of mind. And you'll appreciate this because you're like, hey, I'm waiting for this guest to show up on my show. I sure hope they're here. And, you know, even if it's a minute past, you're going, let's see. you know, the third is she knows, or any guest knows in this instance, that I care enough to say, yeah, this is my actual real cell phone number. Mm-hmm. Call me. I mean, because that's it, like we said, like these are always within arm's reach.
A lot of people have my cell number.
Yeah.
And somebody called me yesterday and I realized that my phone was set to focus. And so
that drives me nuts.
I just kept dumping them in the voicemail. I said, hang on, I'll call you back. And and he was very appreciative and, you know, he goes, you know, you're the only person that follows through.
And there's so much to be said for that, Rob. There's so much to be said for follow through. I'm sorry to interrupt you here. That's another point. Like as people listen to the show, I always hope people listen to shows and take notes. And like you were saying, there's legacy and I hope they get stuff out of it. There is so much value in just doing what you say you'll do. Mm-hmm. That is often a lost art in business, in families, in life. Just do what you say you'll do. If you tell somebody, I'm going to follow you up, then follow them up. Even if you don't have the perfect answers and those mm-hmm. sorts of things, I've found people would still rather hear from me to say, hey, you know what? Rob, I've been working on this project, man. I just can't get it dialed in. I'm really sorry, but I wanted to reach out because I told you I would call you today at noon or whatever. That is something that just, and maybe it's a personal thing, but I would bet if people thought about it, it just drives them up a wall that it's like this person said they would be here at this time or do this thing at this time or send this email or follow up with a text or do whatever. They would send me a proposal and then it falls through the cracks and we're scrambling. And in business, and as an entrepreneur in any sort of business, if your next contact has to lead with an apology, you're screwed. You know, I know that's not the necessarily the direction. Like as we were talking about, we'll just go where the podcast takes us. Let's have this conversation. I think that's something that people need to hear. Anytime you're leading a business conversation, anytime you're leading an opportunity conversation of any kind, business or life, and you got to lead with an apology because you missed something, it's just a bad look. And so I think it's, you know, people need to hear that. Just do what you say you're going to do, business and in life. And it's not that hard.
So let's talk about the leadership toolkit, because I know that was created I think right after our last interview a
Yes.
couple years ago, and we have a few moments left on
Sure.
time, and I know it's a brilliant podcast that people should
Thank
tune
you.
into, but yeah, let's expand on that.
So that came out of I've done I think five other podcasts over the last 15 years, starting with before podcast was even a term, literally. Started with an online radio show, went through some different iterations. I've done a couple faith-based devotional type of YouTube shows and podcasts. I went through, and I'll give you the very short version, went through COVID in, you know, one of the worst ways in 2021. Got COVID, both of my lungs collapsed, died on the way to the hospital type of stuff, literally. And got out of that. And that was sort of in between. COVID was, I was on a break from some other shows and so forth. But this so happened. I got hit with it. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks and then out of doing anything else for another six. And then after I came out of that, actually, I didn't have, and I'm a content creator. Like I love creating content. I love engaging with people. I love doing this. So I'm like locked up in a hospital room or my house, and I'm just spinning in my own head. And I had a really good friend of mine, my best friend, his name's Matt, called me maybe the first quarter of 2023. Because I mean, I went through this after that whole ordeal. I went through a year of really just tough thoughts, some depression, just a bad place in business. I'm like, I mean, you just questioning all kinds of things. And again, without going too deep, I know I'm just scratching the surface. But Matt finally called me. He watched me going through it, and he goes, "Dude," he goes, "What are you doing with your life, man?" He's like, "What are you gonna do something? Are you getting back to creating? Are you going back to work? What? Pull your head out." And then like, that's a good friend, right? To say, "Get your, you know." Insert both hands, put them on your head, pull, right? You're being a dumbass, and like you have something to offer. What are you doing? And I said, I'd started a company called C4 Podcasting because right before I got sick, I thought maybe I'll do some podcast consulting. So I licensed it and did all this. And he goes, "Well, what do you got from that?" And I said, "Well, I came up with a one sheet, and it's how to start a podcast, and it's how to get this going, and what you should do to start it, label it, market it, take it to market, and then, you know, pitch it and so forth." And he's like, "Well, why don't you start a podcast again?" He goes, "You've got a voice, and I know you light up. You've done broadcasting. Why don't you do that? At least get some juices flowing, get some stuff." And I'm like, and I'll admit this to you, Rob, and now the rest of the world that listens. I said, "Well, I don't know if it works. I came up with this one sheet. I've never done it, right?" And he goes, "Well, let's," and this is how good of a friend he is. In March of 2023, he goes, "Dude, let's go through it together." He goes, "Pull your worksheet out. We're going to jump on a Zoom meeting, and I want to walk through your work with you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I went through it, went through the naming stuff, went through, like I ran my own playbook on myself and launched June 1st of 2023, the Leadership Toolkit. And it just things that came about with, you know, how do you name it? How is it? Can you make it that something memorable? Because I that was one of the things I learned, Rob, was when you have a podcast, it needs to be simple. Like I had one called The Front, mm-hmm. and it was all about leading from the front, being in front, pushing yourself out front. But I found if you have to explain the name to people, that shit doesn't work, right? So I was like, okay, well, the leadership toolkit, that's easy. It's all about leadership. And what are the tools you have in your toolbox? Pretty, mm-hmm. pretty simple concept. And so it's all interview podcast. I put it out there. My first 8 guests were friends. Matt was my first guest on the show because he's like, dude, I'll go on the show with you. Let's get going. And he has a tremendous leadership background, was a youth leader in church, has been a leader in many different areas of his life. And so it runs his own company. I was like, let's do it. So at that point, once I was committed and it was scheduled, it was like, okay, well, now this has to be real. And so at this point, you know, I've done this now for a little over 2 years. I'm about 110 live episodes in and a few reruns. And I have had the pleasure to interview unbelievable guests from literally all over the world, all different verticals of business, from the vice president of Nike marketing to interviewed an oil tycoon in Texas. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed a gal that wrote a book pertaining to leadership in the Black church out of Chicago, interviewed a gal that leads a company in Australia to help with disabled people that need support and so forth. And next week I have one of the retired SEAL Team 6 members. So, I mean, if you want leadership from any facet, and I look at, well, what are the common threads? What are the mm-hmm. common characteristics? And like we were talking beforehand, what is something that at least one person can learn and take with them so that they can grow in their journey? Mm-hmm. And so in a nutshell.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about the other day and because of the passing of my friend Steve Sims, is that I've interviewed brilliant people. Mm-hmm. And a few of them are no longer with us, but I've gotten the opportunity to interview them on my podcast, to share time with them, to learn from them. And so that message, that episode is out there for everyone to listen to, you know, and
so I've, yeah, and I'm familiar with Steve. He's brilliant, brilliant dude.
And he just gave up himself I had his son on the podcast and a lot of the people that became friends of mine were friends of Steve.
Yeah.
And so you have somebody that will connect you to other people in such a way that your podcast continues to go on because people want to be associated with that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So how do people get a hold of you? Where do they go?
You know, there's a bunch of ways. I'll give out my cell number here if anyone wants to reach out and connect for anything.
And if you're a scammer, don't call the number.
Yeah, text first and tell me who you are. Text first and tell me who you are. But my cell is 719-492-2082. They can connect on LinkedIn. Connect on through email. It's mike@leadtheteam.net, LEADTHETEAM.net. If you look for Mike Phillips Leadership on YouTube or most any social platform, it'll show up. And certainly, you know, I ask if a shameless plug, tune into theleadershiptoolkit.com. I'm on, you know, all the podcast platforms. If anyone wants to tune in and listen to some, what I'd like to think are awesome conversations with just phenomenal leaders, like way above my pay grade.
But, you know, don't be like me and put everything on 2x speed on video. And then when you meet people in real life going, why are they speaking so slow?
Right. Rob, you spoke so fast, so much more quickly.
You know, I do that all the time just because, you know, I can have multiple things running in the background. I can still enjoy, but I don't always have time to listen for a whole hour. But 2x speed, you know, they sound like chipmunks, but I'm still retaining all that information.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I have to, chill myself. And when I meet these people,
I can't process at 2x speed, man. I do 1.25, but 2x would be, that's a lot. That's quick.
Well, I do everything quick, you know, 60 yeah, books I do. 12 years. And
yep.
I just have to, you know, I maximize my time and I hyper focus and I get stuff done and then I find time to relax. To take naps, to go mow my lawn. That's my therapy.
So, I love that. I do the same, man. Now my 18-year-old son, he'll mow the lawn some, but that's something I still enjoy from time to time.
And I push mow, and everybody's like, "Well, yep. You get a rider." Same. I was like, "I had a rider. My yard is so bumpy. I've got No, I don't do." But you know, I spend an hour and a half mowing my yard. I push mow it. I relax. I get exercise. I can listen to my headphones. And I just think, and I come up with brilliant ideas when I'm mowing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So that's a good way to.
Anyway, everybody go over to Mike, leadtheteam.net, you know, and learn and go over to his YouTube and, you know, listen and download the Leadership Toolkit and, you know, expand your mind. So
Rob, thanks for having me on, man.
See you guys on the next episode. Adios.